I know that would be encouraging to our pastor. I know it is to me. Amen. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 11 tonight, starting off. Genesis chapter 11. God laid this on my heart. Brother John asked me this morning, are you ready for tonight? I said, no. I've got a couple of different thoughts on my mind, and I don't know which direction I'm supposed to go in. So I sat down this afternoon, and God told me to throw those out the window and start here. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to trust God. Now, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture to anybody that has read their Bible. And we're going to start off with the first part of verse 9 of Genesis chapter 11. If you found your place, would you please stand in reverence and respect to God's Word? The first part of verse 9 says, therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. Tonight, for a little while, I would like to talk to you on this subject of just babbling on. Just babbling on. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come, what I said earlier is true, dear God. I don't have the strength, the ability, the talent to do what needs to be done tonight. Dear God, I need help in my heart and life. And so does each and every other individual represented here tonight. And I pray, dear God, that you would bind every opposing power of hell. In the name of Jesus, dear God, would you place a hedge of protection around us. Clear our thoughts, clear our mind, dear God. Help us to speak in a manner that you would have us to, and to recall what we've studied, dear God. And I ask that you would simply take your precious word, speak through this man, dear God, and help your precious people. Dear God, we'll give you the praise, all the honor and glory, for we ask these things in the precious, holy, blood-stained name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I saw many of you giggle when I read my title. I giggled when I wrote it. But it immediately came to mind when I was going over this passage of Scripture. And most of you think of the word babbling on would be a babble is something that a young toddler or maybe even a disrespectful teenager might do every now and then. They just babble and run off at the mouth, not making a whole lot of sense. Everybody said amen. But the word here, Babel, in Genesis chapter 11, is a Hebrew word. It means confusion or disorder. We may not recognize right offhand where Babel was located from the study. Babel was also known as Babylon or Babylonian, or the Babylonian Empire. Is the same area in which this was. And here, many of us know what happened and how the people tried to build up a tower. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4 here. And I want us to pay attention to this closely and notice the mindset of the people. The mindset of the people. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. See, this people here was only wanting one thing, or only had one thing in mind. As they so clearly stated time and time again, they were worried about self. Worried about being scattered here and there and everywhere. See, God was never really mentioned or even thought of. The acts were for individual selfishness and pride. And before we get too critical, how often do we operate the same way? In our day-to-day walk in life in general, we make decision after decision, choice after choice, never thinking about God or what He might want. Oftentimes it could be with finances, possessions, positions, or many others. We want to know what we can do for us, how to better us, how to keep this from happening to us. See, oftentimes we jerk the reins right out of God's hand. And see, God will do like my mama used to tell me. He'll give you enough rope to hang yourself. Yeah. Anytime you tell God to get out of the way, He is a gentleman and never forces any of His will on anybody. It's a free choice. Now, there are ways that He interacts and tries to help and places roadblocks in our lives. But many times when we get in these situations, those rarely work. We get our mindset, as we see the mindset of the people here. We do what we want to do, despite consequences. And oftentimes we tell ourselves, well, if I will just do this, then this won't happen, or this will happen. Or if I'll do it this way, then these are the results that I'll get. Knowing within the depths of our hearts and souls that it's not the way that God has established. Many of the mistakes that we make from day to day are clearly outlined in God's Word of things that we should not do. But see, when we get in this certain mindset, I believe many times we reach a point where we think we know better than God does. We will not dare physically say that. We will not act like that in open rebellion. But deep down inside, when you get down to it, that's all it really is. I know better than you, God. I can handle this better than you. Now, I have been in this situation, in this mindset, many, many times in my life. From personal experience, there is a 0% success rate. You don't even have a chance. You don't even have a hope outside of God. Like Miss Mickey just saying, we cannot even walk without Him holding our hand. I don't think Brother Farley would mind me saying this. But if there was one person in this church that I thought was going to have a stroke, he would have been the last one that I would have picked. One of the healthiest gentlemen that I know. Exercises, eats right, all those things. But yet God allowed this to come into his life. We get so high and mighty that we think that we are in control. I can tell you time and time again where I'd get myself in a financial bind. I wouldn't pray about it. But the first thing that would pop in my mind is, well, I'll work overtime all week long. I can handle this. Well, I've got this in the closet that I haven't used in some time. I'll just sell it. Or better yet, that's what happens from time to time. Only to find out at the end of the week, I'm in a worse situation than I was before. I honestly know that God is setting up in heaven, just tapping his foot. Are you ready to listen yet? No, we're going to try this same thing again next week, Lord. I'm going to work twice as much overtime then, and surely I'll get it fixed. There's been times in my life where I worked 2 and 3 jobs and had less money then than I did working one. If we will only learn to keep God in the center, where he belongs, he will work out every detail of every area of our lives. We see the mindset of the people. It wasn't a very good one, but can't we all relate? Next, we see the mitigation of God. Now, I know that some of you are sitting there, what in the world does that mean? I looked it up for you. I had to double check myself. Mitigation is the action of reducing the severity, seriousness, or painfulness of something. I know some of you are thinking, well, didn't God confound all their languages and he messed up their whole plan? And you're saying that he was lessening the severeness of that? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. I want us to think back to Genesis chapter 6, more specifically verse 5. Let me read it to you. See, oftentimes when man is left unto himself, well, all times, the same result always happens. Back in Genesis chapter 6 in verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, some of you may recognize what time period that this is talking about. These were in the days of Noah, right before the great flood, when God had to come in and wipe out the whole earth because of man left unto himself. There were 8 righteous people that boarded the ark. All others were drowned. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, in verse 6, God was trying to save them from themselves. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Now, I know I joke around my house about the younger generations having an imagination. If it doesn't come on an electronic device, they can't think outside the box anymore. There is no imagination of building forts in the woods and turning a couple of sticks into a motorcycle or anything like that. The imagination of this young generation is gone. That's not the imagination that we're talking about right here. See, when we are left to ourselves, oftentimes we do like the mindset of this people is we start thinking of things that we could better do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Meaning that everything that we are is not suitable for the war that we are in. Our thinking, our mind, our abilities, none of that is suitable for the war that we are in. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, although within ourselves we do not possess the ability or are not suitable for the war that we are in, when you add God to that equation, God is the master of taking nothing and making something out of it. Amen. That's the reason we're here today.
Amen.
Do you realize that? There was nothing. Poof.
Right.
Now there's everything.
Yeah.
Because God spoke it into existence.
Right.
God can take you and He can take me to do something that when people stand back and look at it,
yep,
they have to marvel.
Right.
You may not marvel about me standing behind this pulpit tonight, but every time I stand up, I marvel at the goodness of God.
Amen.
I marvel that He would allow me just to stand here,
yeah,
and share His Word.
Amen.
To preach His Word. Because if there's one that's not fit, you're looking at him. See, this was a mitigation of God. If God had allowed them to build this tower and had not intervened outside of God's promise that He would not flood the earth, would He have had to destroy the earth again? But He confounded them and sent them on their way.
Yeah.
Lastly, we see the mayhem's conclusion. Look at with me in verse 4 of Genesis chapter 11. I want us to notice something. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Before we go any further, would anyone like to guess what happened to them because of this mindset? Drop down to verse 8. "So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth." Verse 9, "Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Now what did they not want to happen? To be scattered abroad the face of the whole earth. What happened? They got scattered abroad the face of the whole earth. I want to challenge each and every one of you here tonight, young and old, to think back at times in your life when you've had a mindset of this, and the very thing that you were working and trying to do everything you could to keep from happening. How many of you can call to remembrance the exact thing that you were trying to keep from happening in your own power, not in the will of God, trying to do it your way, the exact very thing happened?
Amen.
I can. Time and time again, I use the illustration of working overtime. There's times in my life where I worked so much and had so little, I don't know what was going on. For the hours that I was putting out, putting 60, 70, maybe 80 hours a week in, getting paid for like 30. Why? Because I wouldn't let God do what God,
amen,
wanted to do.
Right.
And if God had allowed me one time to, in my own power, handle any of these situations, what would I have done with it? Or what would you have done with it? But God in His goodness, God in His mitigation will let you squirm in self. Let you do what you want to do till you get so low that there's nothing you can do but look up. And at that very moment that you look up and call unto Him, surrender it unto Him, He immediately starts working in that situation. We are the only thing that ever hinders God. Now, if you're anything like me, about halfway through, I'll jerk the reins out of His hand again. Well, we're going good. I got it from here, God. And what happens? It's insanity doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results, and then telling God that He's wrong. It don't get no crazier than that. What they were trying to prevent in their own power, they ended up causing. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know what you were trying or I am trying. Well, I know what I'm trying to do. But I don't know what you are trying to handle in your own power, in your own strength, with your own abilities. But I'm telling you from God's own word that you will never succeed. You will continually fail, and you will make things worse than they were in the beginning. And God, being the gentleman that He is, will send conviction. He'll knock on the door from time to time just to remind you that He's still there and He's still waiting. But it's up to you and it's up to I to turn back unto Him.
Amen.
To do it His way. That way He gets the glory for
Amen.
It. Not you and me. If everyone would bow their heads. Miss Mickey, if you could come, if everyone would stand.